Okay, well, let's anything else we can pray. All right, let's pray. Lord, prayer is a gift not to be taken for granted, not just a perfunctory thing that we do as part of a routine. It can become that. I don't want it to be that, Lord. I want you to remind us that we are together in this moment coming to you, to the Lord of the universe, who sent his own son to die for us and sent his spirit to connect us and reveal things to us. Lord, just this is awesome work going on. And so we thank you for that. Please let us sense that and be encouraged by it. See the moment for what it is, and also just a glimpse of the way we will live new heavens, new earth, Lord, that it will be together. It will be in your presence, free from all the things that that weigh us down right now, but it's the same Lord. And so we just take this moment to commune with you in that way, to say we're thankful for it. It's a mystery to us. We don't know how to experience it, but you brought us together for a moment like this, so that prayer requests are not just lists that we keep, Lord. We are coming to you with our hearts. And many people in this class with physical issues, with all the other stuff, relationships, people we care about who we're worried about, the whole list of things that can happen to humanity is represented in some way here. And so we need you. We really, really need you to give us encouragement and help us to know, Father, help us to encourage each other and to just be prompted to reach out, even if it's uncomfortable, to reach out to others that you may not know well, but just, Lord, help us to do that for each other. We thank you for the blessing of being in this group, in the Discovery class at Briarwood Church, Lord, that you have brought with a heavy DNA of love for the Scripture, love for each other, a belief in the inerrancy of Scripture, a belief in a mission that we are here to encourage each other and to bring light to the world, however that looks for each of us in our own settings, Father. So people like Eric Rebels, who have really just given their life to that purpose and helping us do it, we thank you for him and his family. Pray for his strength and encouragement as he serves as husband, father, pastor, friend, all the things that Eric does in his life and for us and for our church. So I pray for blessings for him, and I pray for him as he teaches us today. Lord, teach us. Let us be open to what he would have us learn, Lord, and may it be about you. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Eric, mystery on the mic, so
I'll talk loud.
Thank you for being here.
Check the connections on.
Okay. There's a lot up here. That's on. Test, 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 test. It's really not on, but I'm loud.
Yeah, you're good.
It's on, it's quiet.
Okay,
this is very quiet.
Yeah, if you turn it up, it'll feedback and all that kind of stuff. I'll try to be loud. That's okay. I'm kind of loud person. At least my wife says that. Anyways, literally, not figuratively. right, Tim? No, I'm not doing that, Emma. All right. Hey, it is so good to be with you guys. John, thank you for inviting me. And I know Olin. He's so good. And for me to come, it's lesser. But I love you guys and really feel like it's such a blessing to be here and to be able to share with you. And so good morning. It's good to be with y'all. This class is like really, in, as far as Sunday school communities, it's pretty legendary. I'm just going to say that, not to give you all the big head or anything, But this class is pretty legendary, and so I've so it's just good legendary. No, you've got some history. You stacked up.
Not that much of a mystery.
Stacked up a bunch of wins, that's for sure. I was in Orlando yesterday, had the privilege to go down and be a part of a pastor's conference with Randy Pope. It was just a small group, about 12 of us, some pastors from all over the country. And because I've been connecting with him around the Life on Life discipleship ministry and the journey curriculum, and hopefully some of you guys have been a part of that. I love it. And I've been thrilled to be a part of it. I started a group in January of four young men, and it's been awesome. It's been awesome to see their growth. They're in their 20s. We also started 9 other groups that have started around the church, sort of under the radar intentionally, and we're hoping to grow that. And I know, Jim, you've reached out to me a little bit about the possibility for that, and I would love to talk to more folks about that ministry, maybe offline. But before I get ahead of myself, let me share who I am for those that may not know. My name is Eric Reebles, one of the assistant pastors here at Briarwood. It's hard to believe. I've been here 29 years this December, so working on my 30th year here at the church. And, y'all, I have loved every minute of it. It is not every minute. I shouldn't say that. That may not be, but most every minute of it I have absolutely loved, and it's been such a blessing to me. And to my family. Tiffany is here, my wife, and then we've got 4 kids. I actually started on staff before we got married, just a couple of months, and then we got married in April. So we've raised our family here. We have 3 boys. The oldest is Cal. He's 24. He graduated from Samford and has lived in Northern California for the past year and a half, working for the JH Ranch in that ministry. And then Luke is a senior at Auburn, and he's graduating in May, and hopes to work in construction when he finishes. And then Gray is a sophomore at Auburn. And then our daughter Livy is our last one at home. She's a senior and is going to be going to Auburn in the fall. So that's kind of our family. Let me back up even a little more than that, and why I'm so thankful just in general for Briarwood Church. And let me say this. A lot of this is going to be testimonial today, and it's going to be hopefully a challenge or an encouragement, not exactly a lesson. So bear with it. If you're hoping to come get another lesson or a sermon, it's not exactly going to be that, but hopefully a challenge and hopefully a word of encouragement. So let me tell you my story just real quickly. I grew up in Homewood, went to Homewood school system. Grew up with 2 older brothers, Mike and Chris, and then my parents. And there was nothing about our family that was Christian. 0 people in our family knew the Lord and were walking with Christ. In fact, my mom is from Australia. She grew up in Sydney, and she grew up in a family that really didn't go to church either, but she went to a Catholic school. So she grew up Catholic. When she moved here, she met my dad. They got married. We moved to Birmingham before I was 1 year old. And on occasion, every now and then, maybe once a year, we would go to the Catholic church. And I hated it. I'm going to be honest with you. It was miserable. I had no idea what was going on. Cold, Latin, all that stuff. I had no clue. And I didn't know God. But I will say this, in God's kind providence, God placed something in my belief and in my heart that there was a heaven and a hell, right? And we often talk about how sometimes we can say, well, it's a bad thing, hellfire and brimstone. For me, it was an incredible thing because I knew I did not know God. And I knew I did not have a relationship with him. And I knew for certain that if I died, I was going to go to hell. Like it was, nobody had to convince me. I was a terrible little kid, used to get paddled all the time in the first grade. I was terrible. I mean, that's kind of hard to do. Billy kind of knows. We probably very similar. But, and I remember making, and this is terrible, right? And I would repent if I could, if I saw her again. But I remember making my first grade teacher cry twice. Weird. Miss Parr, poor Miss Parr. But she used to paddle me, and I just kind of laugh at her. Terrible. But I did fear that. I didn't know if I died, I was going to go to hell. And so I remember when we would have bad weather in Birmingham, and I think, wow, if a tornado comes and if I'm hit by that tornado, I'm going to hell. I'm not going to heaven. And my understanding of how somebody went to heaven versus hell is that if they were a good person, right? If they were a Boy Scout or something like that, that I wasn't. Well, in God's providence and his kindness, radical kindness, right? I mean, God's just that way, isn't he? His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. In his kindness, he met my brothers, my two older brothers. They're 8 and 4 years older than me. But Mike and Chris both began to get involved with Young Life. And again, my family and Tiffany can attest to this. My parents used to fight like cats and dogs all the time. And some of my earliest memories were of breaking them up, like not physically, but they would really get on to each other and use profanity and yell at each other. It was hard. It was hard growing up in that environment. So it wasn't Christian at all. But my brothers get influenced by Young Life, and long story short, in God's kindness and grace, they come to saving faith in Christ. And I begin to see a change in their lives and how they treated me. Right. Both of my parents worked. Our home was crazy. My brothers it's like you woke up and you took your beatings from them, you know, growing up. I remember trying to always call my mom to sort of complain to her, I need help. And I'd dial the number and my brother would be on the other phone. Remember all the landlines, and he would push one wrong button. And so I'd call some poor victim on the other line. It was just crazy growing up in the family, but my brothers become Christians and they begin to treat me differently. And I can even remember before I was in middle school, my brother Chris asking me a very important question. He said, Eric, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And remember, I really did wrestle with that question. I wanted to know the answer. And I knew I was not going to heaven. And I said, no, I don't know for sure. But I said, Chris, what about you? Do you know for sure? And he said, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I died today, I would go to heaven. And I thought, how in the world does he know that? He has been abusive to me. You know, he's not a good person. How does he know? Well, he was kind in the sense that he began to try to share the gospel with me. And his way of doing that was taking me to church with him on occasion and introducing me to different youth ministries. And again, just to lay the groundwork for my connection to Briarwood, in 1988, the summer of 1988, I was going into the seventh grade. 88 is a big year around here, right? It's when Briarwood moved to this location. But I was going into middle school. I was going into the ninth grade, excuse me. And Chris took me to a high school ministry called Student Stampede that summer. They were having a meeting. First time never doing anything like that. And he introduced me to a gentleman by the name of Jay Matthews. Y'all may remember Jay or know Jay. He's here at our church. Wonderful, wonderful man. But he introduced me to Jay Matthews, and I sat through and I heard the gospel for one of the first times. Didn't make a commitment at that point. But I met Jay, and Jay introduced himself to me and said, hey, would you like to grab lunch this week? And I said, sure, why not? You know, I'm getting to be a big boy. I'm going into high school. Love to have lunch. Probably the first time I ever did anything like that. Took me to lunch, began to pour into my life through discipleship in me, even as an unbeliever. And y'all, when I was with Randy this week, it was so, I mean, I've heard him say these things before, but it was awesome to hear him say this again. And he said, you know, he talks about the three pillars of a church and of faith. The first one is sincere worshipers, right? sincere worshipers of God, meaning personal, private worship, but also corporate worship. And then the two other pillars we're going to talk about these next 2 weeks. The next pillar is faithful disciple makers, right? Faithful disciple makers. And that means evangelists, people that share their faith, that lead other people to Christ and to making a commitment to follow him. And then the last one, he talks about effective discipleship training, when we train people in their faith. And so Jay did both of those things in my life. He was a discipleship making in my life, and he was discipleship training in my life. And so I went to lunch with him. He invited me to be a part of a Bible study. And so I got a Bible. My brother, my mom gave me a Bible, and it was King James. And forgive me if there's some of you that enjoy that version in here. I didn't understand a word I was reading. It was so confusing to me. And I started in Genesis. And I came to my brother Chris and I said, man, this is awesome. I actually believe this is God's word. I said, but I don't know what they're saying in here, all these and thous and so forth. And he said, hold on a minute. And he gave me another Bible. And I remember him giving me the New American Standard. And I remember reading God's word. And it really did have a big impact in my life, even as a non-believer. Right. And y'all, all of us understand how this goes and how this works. Right. We don't know when God does this in our lives. I mean, I have a moment that I can point to and say that's when God justified me. But in the golden chain of salvation, the Ordo Salutis, when God drew me to himself, I don't know when that was. The Bible tells me it was before the foundations of the world. Right. And so God had always planned to draw me to himself. But I was a pagan. And I've had people come up to me since that have learned that I'm a pastor and say, how did that happen? You know, like, how in the world did that happen? I mean, y'all was so bad in the middle school. I'm going to tell you one story, and I'm not going to tell you anymore. I was so bad in middle school that in the eighth grade, and in my defense, there was a guy, Blake, that was bullying another student, a smaller student. But I wasn't one that shied away from fighting. Kind of like to do that. So Blake was kind of bullying Scott, this smaller guy. And I said, man, y'all watch. And this was the end of school. There were no teachers or coaches or anything around. We were out on the football field. I said, watch y'all. I'm going to go get Blake. So I ran out there and I grabbed him. And this is really bad, but all's well. It all ended well. He's alive. Okay. But I grabbed Blake and I picked him up and I slammed him on the ground and broke both of his arms. Badly, like bad breaks. I think they called them silver spoon breaks. They were kind of, and that was, I mean, God even used that to be like, this is not good. Like, thankfully I didn't get expelled because no teachers or anybody was there. But you know, in God's providence and kindness, got to be really close friends with Blake. He had casts from here all the way up to his shoulder on both arms. And every single day I had to go to his house and spend time with him for like hours. And God, that was really good. It actually was. And so not for Blake, I'm sure, but for me, it was really good. And we actually became friends. But that's the kind of person I was. And when I got introduced to Jay and began to cultivate a relationship with him, and he began to pour into my life and lead me through Bible study, it was tremendously impactful. Now, why I tell you all that? That was a ministry out of this church, out of Briarwood Church. You know, Tom Carradine and Dr. Barker started, and others started, the ministry of Student Stampede really at the same time that they started Campus Outreach. And that ministry was huge in my life. And so at Homewood, I began to have Bible study with Jay. And over my freshman year, I was really like a chameleon, because I would have probably said I was a Christian, but the reality was is I was not a Christian. I would have said I was. We actually had that ministry at my house down in our basement at Homewood High School. There would be about 100 high school students that would come. We would hear people share their testimony week after week. I was this way. I would have said I was a Christian because I wanted to know for sure that when I died, I was going to heaven. But I had not surrendered to Christ in any way, shape, or form. So there was no lordship. And the verse that we like to use on Wednesday nights when we go out and do evangelism is Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. He wasn't my Lord, right? And so though I would have said I was a Christian, the reality was there's no real change in my life and in my passion and my desires. And so toward the end of my ninth grade year, Jay's ministering to me. The ministry's ministering to me. My friends that are crazy wild and convicts were ministering to me. And so I was torn. You know, if I was with the good people, I would look like a good person. If I was with the bad people, I'd look like a bad person. And I needed that discipleship. And I remember Jay, in his sweet way, would kind of laugh at me when I would tell him these crazy stories of things that I was planning to do. And he would say, no, I wouldn't do that. And Jay Matthews, if you've ever met him, when he laughs, he just kind of, you don't even really hear it. He just shakes. He bounces. He'd say, no, y'all shouldn't do that. Don't do that. I mean, one of the things we wanted to do, sorry, I'm telling another story. We played Vestavia in football, and we hated them so badly that we wanted to go and get our team and fan base excited. And so we were going to go vandalize Vestavia High School. And hope, no, excuse me. Forgive me. Bad. We were going to vandalize our school, Homewood, and put Vestavia's things on it to get our people mad at them. And Jay was like, no, y'all are going to get arrested. And you won't even get to play in the game. That's the kind of group he was working with. So Jay continues to minister to us. And I'll wrap it up with one final story. None of this, I'm proud. It's good to laugh about it after the fact, but I would never want my kids to be doing these things and in these type situations. So, in the springtime of my freshman year, running around with these upperclassmen, they were doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know, I would be driving them. I didn't even have a license. They would be getting drunk in the car, smoking marijuana. I mean, it really was crazy and dangerous. And we would go out and we'd find fights. We'd go get in fights. And so we end up on Southside, and we just gotten in a big fight. And God's crazy kind providence, I'm actually talking to two Christian girls from Vestavia about Stampede and that ministry. And I hear a commotion behind me, and it's my guys getting in another fight over here. And I'm like, I made a commitment. I got to go help my buddy. Stupid. I mean, I know all of y'all are thinking this guy's a complete idiot. And you're right. I was. So I leave, don't say bye to him, run over there, get in the middle of this fight. We end up getting arrested. And, I mean, billy clubs, all that good stuff. I'm handcuffed, ninth grade, up against the car, get put in a paddy wagon that night. And it really was, and I don't mean this tongue in cheek, but it really was the lowest point of my life. I mean, I knew this is bad. This is really bad. I'm arrested, about to go to juvenile detention because I'm too young to go to jail. The guy I got in a fight with was going to jail. Bunch of people in there, 10 people in there. They had all been arrested that night. It was a big spring break outing type time down near the Five Points Fountain. And in God's kindness, he really dealt with me. And I knew I had not surrendered to him to be Lord of my life. I haven't given up the things of the world like I needed to. And just in that time that this guy's over here, he's still cussing at me. The guy I got in a fight with, he's handcuffed over here. I'm handcuffed over here. And it's like, Lord, and really in the silence of my heart, I prayed, Lord, this is what it looks like for me to be in control of my life. And I'm still trying to be in control of it. And I remember just saying, Lord, that's it. I surrender. You have it. You take it. You do whatever you want with my life. I surrender. Spent the rest of the night in juvenile detention later that night. But it really was. It was genuine and transformational. And continued in that study with Jay Matthews and others through the ministry of Stampede through high school. And my life was different. And I remember even telling my friends that I ran around with, I said, guys, I made a commitment to follow Christ. And I'm tired of doing these things that I know are wrong. And I'm not going to do them with you anymore. I love you guys. You're my friends. but I'm not going to do these things with you anymore. And I remember inviting them to come be a part of our ministry. And many of them came to our Bible studies each week at my house. And so God began to really disciple me. And I remember 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. And it really was transformational in my life. I remember being the worst student in class to really becoming just under God's conviction that I needed to treat my teachers right and I needed to work hard in school, becoming a, you know, sort of a better student, one that, that sought to let his light shine before men that they would see my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. So I tell you all that to sort of explain how in my life, evangelism was a process, right? It didn't just happen one time, but it was a process of using many people in my life and for me to come to saving faith in Christ. It was incredible. And long story short, just to kind of close the circle. So I was real involved with that ministry throughout high school, Student Stampede, and then I went off to college. And after my freshman year at Auburn, I came back and interned on staff here. And that was 1993. Became a member here, interned with the Stampede Ministry. And y'all, that was an awesome summer. I loved the ministry that I was able to do and participate in. And I knew that I wanted to do ministry and minister to high school students like myself because it had such a tremendous impact in my life. And so once I graduated college, I was able to come up back on staff here and work at Homewood High School, believe it or not, of all places, and Hoover as well. So, and that's when we started our ministry. Tiffany would minister to the girls at the high school, and I would minister to the guys at different times and have Bible studies at our home and share the gospel with people. It's one of the things that I love so much about Stampede back in the day is every single week we clearly presented the gospel of Christ. Every week. That was our goal, to reach those students for Christ and then to disciple them, then to incorporate them in Bible studies where they could grow in their faith. And as I was thinking about talking about discipleship, John mentioned that to me. I thought, you know, discipleship is not really mentioned in the Bible. We see where it says go and make disciples, right? And we see discipleship, it, certainly in the lives of the disciples themselves, right? That's modeled for us, but that word's not really in the scriptures. So I like how Randy talks about it and explains it about disciple making. So today, if I could, in my last few minutes, I want to talk to you about evangelism or disciple making. Okay. And that's one of my roles here. And I'll just share with you some of the things. Of course, we have evangelism taking place with all of the different ministries that are here. But specifically, we continue to do evangelism, and we do that on Wednesday nights pretty much every week. Every week that we have midweek, and then we also do it during the summer. So I would love to invite you. Some of you have participated in that. I know Beth has, appreciate, and others in here have, Ed has as well, and others, on Wednesday nights. So we meet in A105, which is right across from the glass area, that room, on Wednesday nights at 6:30, and then we go out and we share the gospel. And we'll go to apartments on occasions, but most of the time we'll go to places like UAB, and we'll do conversational, just meeting people, what we like to call survey evangelism. So this is kind of what it would look like. We would see somebody coming by, and it would be two of us. And we would just say, hey, excuse me, we're from Briarwood Church, and we're doing a religious survey. Would you mind if we took a couple of minutes and asked you a couple questions? 99% of the time, people say, absolutely, be glad to do a survey. No. And then we begin to ask them, and we ask them the diagnostic questions that you find in EE, if you've ever done that, you know, if you're to die today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Sure. Well, okay. If you were to die and stand before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And that gets to the real heart of the question and can be a lot more difficult to answer. So what I've found each week as we go out, and we have hundreds and hundreds of conversations. Last year, I can't remember the specific numbers, but we had more than 40 people make a commitment to follow Christ. We talked to hundreds and hundreds of people. But what that number doesn't indicate is probably the dozens and dozens of other people that said, well, I believe I'm a good person and I go to church and. And we're able to say to them, well, let me share this verse with you, right? And let me help you to understand that it's not by our works that we're saved. We'll talk to them about Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace that you're saved. It's not of your own works. It's the gift of God, not a result of works that no man can boast. And we'll explain that to them and help them. So we have a lot of people that we get to see them have assurance of their salvation, maybe for the first time. And maybe in reality, they're becoming Christians for the first time. So please join us. It's very practical. You don't have to say a word if you come. You can go out with me. I'd love to have you do that. But it has been thrilling, to say the least. Initially, I remember thinking, this is kind of hard. And yeah, I'm the pastor of evangelism at the church, but this is hard to do. And at times I sort of dreaded going out. But guess what? I think the longer and longer you're faithfully moving in one direction, pursuing God and seeking his glory and seeking to do and be faithful, he causes all those ways that the devil and his demons and the world and the flesh sow you lies about why you shouldn't be doing it. He tends to kind of scurry them away, or he says, it's not worth it. They're going to go out no matter what. That's one of the reasons why we have it on the schedule every week. It's, by golly, we're going to meet and we're going to go out. And I just can't tell you what a blessing it's been for me, but also for the folks that participate. Last week, I think there were 14 people that went out, and they had one person, from what I understand, indicated they made a commitment to follow Christ. Let me do this real quickly with us. More of a lesson. So we'll transition just a little bit, just by way, hopefully, of encouragement in the area of evangelism. So a definition, you've got it up on the screen. Definition of evangelism: to present Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to sinful people in order that they may come to put their trust in God through him, to receive him as their Savior and serve him as their King in the fellowship of his church. That's a lot, right? Right? I'm much more simple than that. So here's how I would say evangelism. Share the gospel. Right? Share the gospel. Share the good news of Christ, who died for our sins, rose again. He offers us this free gift, and we don't do anything to earn it or deserve it. Just by faith. By faith we receive the gospel. Donald Whitney says, evangelism is a natural overflow of the Christian life, but it's also a discipline. And so can I just simply encourage all of us? I almost want to beg y'all, please find a way to make evangelism a discipline in your life, right? Whatever it takes, do something. It could be small, it can be large. Just do something to incorporate the gospel in your testimony. Right? There's so many thousands of ways that you can share your faith. Telling somebody your testimony, right? Bringing someone to church where the gospel's presented. I mean, so many ways. Find one and make it your own, right? We do the Bridge to Life, and when I teach it a certain way. But I go out with people all the time and hear them present the Bridge to Life, and I think, that's better. Look what they've done. They've made it their own. And I like how they did it. Now, they don't change the message of the gospel. It's always the same. But how they present it is different. And I love that. And I think the more that you do it, the more it'll become your own, the easier it will become. So I beg you to make it a discipline and a natural overflow of your life. Charles Spurgeon says, though I can understand the possibility of an earnest sower never reaping, I cannot understand the possibility of an earnest sower being content not to reap. Right? And y'all, we're all called to be sowers. Every last one of us. This is not a professional duty of someone in the church. This is every believer. We're called to make disciples and to sow. So the first little point that I'll make here is evangelism is expected. Evangelism is expected. How do we know that? Everybody knows this, right? It's the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I will say this. What Jesus is telling us here about making disciples is not just evangelism, right? And that's where I hope we all will find a way to have a mental shift. It's not just going out and sharing our faith. So if God gives you the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, pray and see and seek to find a way to disciple them into a mature follower of Christ. And you may say, I don't have the first clue how to do that. I can help you. Yes, right? The church can help you. We can give you Bible studies. We can give you curriculum. We can do all that. But I've also found that that analysis, like how do I do it? What do I do? That often leads to paralysis, right? It leads to us never really doing anything. And for years at the church, we kept floundering around, what should we do? What should we use? What? I just say, ask God. And I know that may be a simplification of it, but say, God, help me. Help me to know what this person needs to know, how they need to grow. And then come ask others, ask me. I'd love to encourage you and maybe point you in a specific direction as far as discipling somebody. But the first step to that is evangelism. So this is the Great Commission, right? And I'll go just mention a couple of other things. The Great Commission is not just found in Matthew 28. It's also found in John 20:21 and Mark 16:15 and Luke 24:47. All of those are the Great Commission. They sound a little different, right? Like in John 20:21, it says, peace be with you as the Father sent me, even so I am sending you, right? To make disciples. Mark 16:15 says, Jesus says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Luke 24:47 says, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. That's the Great Commission. It's found in every one of the Gospels. So there is a reason there's a tugging at our hearts to share the gospel. I remember reading in the Birmingham News one time, there was an archbishop from China or Southeast Asia that said this, every Christian worth that name is called to bring others to Christ. We are to fish in the dangerous sea of humanity and bring those souls to the safe shore of the kingdom of God. Man, isn't that awesome? And so where's the church growing like crazy? China. I was in India last May. It's growing like crazy there. And as the persecution there continues to ramp up, their president wants everybody there to be Hindu, right? And so I asked them, I said, well, how does he do it? He says he doesn't do it out in the open. He has a bunch of people that enforce that sort of behind scenes. But the church in India is growing like crazy. When I went there, the first thing we did after we got settled is we went to church one Sunday morning. Y'all, we went to a church facility. It was in a rural area of India, and to this beautiful building that they were opening for the first Sunday, for the first service. Guess who built that? Who provided the funding to build that whole big church? We did. And it was pennies on the dollar. And we built a whole facility. They bring us upstairs when we get there, and there are 16 people on the rooftop. They do it on the rooftop to keep it sort of hidden. 16 people were baptized. They were new converts to Christianity. God is moving in a powerful way around the world. And I'm so encouraged by it. Second point, and I'm almost done, I promise. Evangelism is empowered. Evangelism is empowered. I really do believe this, and this is not to be tongue in cheek, but God's looking for fat people. And let me explain that. He's looking for people that are faithful, available, and teachable, right? Faithful, available, and teachable. People that will go out and share the gospel. And it's empowered, okay? So it's empowered also by the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit goes before us. You think I can't do this. Guess what? You can't do it. I can't do it. Doesn't matter who it is and how much training you have. If you try to do it in your own power, in your own training, in your own effort, you can't do it. Only the Holy Spirit leads people to Christ. So there's power in the Holy Spirit. There's power in prayer. I remember praying for my dad after I became a Christian that he would come to faith in Christ. He is the last person that I would have thought would come to faith in Christ. And nearing his deathbed at 86 years old, he made a commitment to follow Christ. And he died a year ago, last November, as a Christian and as a follower of Christ. My mom also was a follower of Christ, became a Christian. She didn't really understand it all. She met with Dr. Barker. In his kindness, he met with her week after week to explain and help her to understand the gospel. So there's power in prayer. Let me keep going. I'm going to skip a lot, but let me do get a share a verse. Remember, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. That's a work of God's Spirit. That's a work of God. But we get to enter into that work in a beautiful way. Okay. If it went by works, I love this quote, and I just want to read this one just because I love the quote. Mark Twain said, heaven goes by favor, meaning the favor that God gives to us, right, by the power of his Holy Spirit and the grace that he gives to us. He says, heaven goes by favor. He said, if it went by merit, you would stay out and your dog would go in. I really think that's true. So we need to stop trying to earn our salvation, and we need to start living by faith and pointing people to Christ by faith. And the last point I want to make is that evangelism is a discipline. It is a discipline. It's part of the reason why I believe with all my heart we've got to keep it on the calendar here at Briarwood every single week. I vividly remember Dr. Barker trained me in evangelism, right? Dr. Barker was at every Wednesday night EE program. He would teach a seminary class before. He would come down and he would sit. He didn't even teach it, but he would train others. He would sit there. Somebody would bring him in a meal because he would miss dinner because he had been teaching the seminary class, and he valued evangelism so much that he would miss dinner and he would eat dinner while the lesson was being taught. And then he would take us out and he would train us. It's important. It's critically important. And it's a discipline. And in his life, it was a discipline. And so I just want to encourage us to make it a discipline in our lives as well. So just those 3 points as a reminder, right? Evangelism is expected, right? We're expected to share our faith. Figure out, find out, ask the Lord for the best way for you to share your faith. Remember, it's empowered. His Spirit will give you the words to say. He'll empower you to be able to do it. He'll give you the opportunity to do it if you just pray and ask. And then remember, it's also a discipline. We need to make sure that it's valuable, that we bring it before the Lord, and that we seek to do it. So, guys, I love y'all. I love this class. I look around and see all the faces. I'm so encouraged by your faithfulness. Y'all, what does Hebrews 10:25 say? Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us gather together all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. Y'all encourage me so much, and I thank you. Let me close this in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much. Just, Lord, I hope I didn't make this about me, but I'm so grateful, Lord, how you've used Briarwood Church and how you've used Dr. Barker, Dr. Reeder, Dr. Redd, and others, folks in this class specifically. Father, as I look around the room, how you've used so many people in my life, one, for me to come to saving faith in Christ, but also, Lord, to grow in my love for you and my commitment to you. And so I praise you for that, God. Thank you for the faithfulness that's represented here. Please continue to bless our church. Bless us, Lord. Make us faithful, God, faithful ambassadors of Christ. We're here in a foreign land to share the good news of the gospel as your ambassadors. One day you'll bring us home. But while we're here, God, let our heart beat for you. Let our heart beat for the gospel. Let us find ways to pray more diligently for the lost, but also to share the good news. We love you, Lord. Thank you for our time together, and thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you for drawing each and every one of us to Christ, and help us to be, again, as I said, your ambassadors. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.